The weekly conversation with Maitreya will be open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic mission of Maitreya. Do not be combative, be articulate, and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will also be taken in text, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in a lecture, and please do not grab the mic. Please listen to the answer to your last question before typing another. Those who do not follow this simple rule will be red-dotted. They, however, will be given one more chance for follow-up questions. If they continue to be disorderly, they will be red-dotted permanently. If you would like to listen to his previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word, continuously.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mishra Maitreya's Conversation Room. Shalom means we pay our salutations to the divinity within you. We recognize that you are a spark of God, and God is within each of us, and therefore we have no choice but respect that divinity and essence in every man, woman, and child. And we, if we create such an outlook on the whole earth, and people start seeing that essence in one another, and start respecting each other, that will eliminate 99% of the problems that we have on earth at this point. Because God has created the whole thing, and there is nothing in the universe but God. And if we recognize and realize this truth, then we have no choice but to see that essence in them. And if people are not respectful or respectable or not able to see the essence in other people, we can teach them instead of hate them for what they do. Because you cannot hate God if they are godly and know that He is everything. So Shalom is a healing power and healing approach to our daily life and our greeting to one another. It is just not a meaningless word, but we should really mean it. And we say, I pay my salutation to the divinity within you, which is God, and learn more and more to see truly everyone is the essence of God. So no matter what religion they are from, what nation, what color, what gender, that essence is in them as well. And we cannot hate that essence. We might hate their actions, but with the teaching and eventually making humanity realize that they have to become their essence and let their essence come through, not ego and ego craving. We create humanity or humans that they are respectable, they are godly, they manifest higher quality in human existence. Instead of egoistical pursuance, separation, destructive tendencies, greed, and all the vice that has created an earth that is heading toward self-destruction, or at least great tribulation that is coming to humanity. So, his teaching, this weekly conversation is for us to come together and we discuss teachings that have come through the mission of Maitreya and realizing this is the revelation. This is the essence of God's spirit. It has purified all religions and taken all the dogma out of it and have brought humanity a wonderful way to create an environment that they can come together and support one another, meditate, dance, chant, and be the essence that they have been created to be and progress in a greater degree to achieve the goal of their life, and that is to become divine. To become divine means to follow the eternal divine path. And whoever follows eternal divine path to this essence will have no choice but become divine, become an elect, become a chosen person of God. And these are the chosen people that the whole creation of the universe makes it worthwhile, and God created the whole creation for that purpose, so man can go through the eternal divine path and return to God as divine. And that's why we call divines. We are the people who follow the eternal divine path. And then you come here and you understand and see the teachings and the depth and essence of it, then the reach should be a reach of outreach for every one of you, that you reach to communities, to your friends, to your family, to your acquaintance, to anybody who might listen, and let them know that they can also become a divine, an essence of God, and manifest their higher qualities, and come together with you and others like-minded and create an environment that less and less you will be dependent upon external world and become self-sufficient communities that can help one another in this great progress toward that divinity. Therefore, the community of life and creation of the community of life is the most important part of this mission. Actually, all the questions have been answered, all the ways are being given, everything has been explained in this mission how they should be. So the only thing really left is for us to put our effort and our energy in manifesting it. It is not a revelation of I take you there, but it's a revelation of I show you the way and you walk it. The more you walk the eternal divine path, the more you listen to the satsang, the answer to the questions, the more divine you will become. So it is really given for you to understand it and go with what God has created and revealed. And therefore, the way to progress in this mission is to follow eternal divine path. It is not expecting somebody else to do it for you or take you to God or give you an experience that you might have, which is okay. But really means to reach out, to spread this message in every corner of the earth and wherever you are, and follow eternal divine path, therefore you will become divine. And the path to divinity, of course, is the path that has been revealed to humanity for the last 12,000 years, one step at a time. God revealed many religions. He promised Abraham that He will send a prophet from the one of his sons, the first son Ishmael. He promised him that there will going to be another prophet or Messiah from his other son Isaac, and he clear clearly shows in Bible that when he changed the name of Abram to Abraham, there is another new promise and revelation to God, to Abraham, and therefore at least we know two more prophets should come from lineage of Abram and Abraham. He foretold the children of Israel, when the Shiloh comes, the kingdom will be taken away from them, Judah, and give it to another nation. He sends prophets and gave them the vision of the end time, and in those visions he showed them what is exactly going to happen at the end time. But at the same time, he sealed that vision and told them, do not reveal it to humanity because it's going to be a mystery. And then, of course, in Revelation, he clearly reveals that when the seventh angel or the seventh revelation, when the book with the seven seals are open, when the seven seals are revealed, the mystery of God is no more. Now it has been accomplished. The seven seals are revealed, the book with the seven seals are opened, and the mystery of God is being explained to man, and now we are at that point of God's plan and revelation. And he says, no one knows the truth until the seventh angel come. Then you can clearly see that all the churches, all the mosques, all the temples, all the synagogues, and all the people who are preaching different religion or ideas, they don't know the whole truth. Therefore, we can go to any other rooms in the synagogue even and listen to them and realize they have only a part of the plan, but they do not have the whole vision, the whole picture. The only people who have the whole picture are those that are familiar with the holiest of the holiest, though, the Last Testament. When you understand that book, when you see God clearly promise many promises through history to man, when you see clearly God hid the vision at the end time, then you can see, yes, it makes sense. God said, no one knows the truth, the vision of the end time, until the seventh revelation comes, and no other prophet or revealer came to open the seven seals and explain other religions the way we have done it in this mission for humanity. Therefore, humanity have to see this very clear and understand this in the deepest level. First, God truly exists. If you realize that he promises all these promises and then he fulfills them, you have no choice. At least intellectually he says, yes, that makes sense. He said he's going to do that, and he has done it. Has any dogma, any philosophy, any doctrine that does not support these revelations which is based on history, word of God, his work for last 2,000 years, the thing he said and he did them? Any philosophy or teaching is not based on this truth and the word of God and these scriptures is not correct. It's not true. Therefore, we have now a very clear understanding of God's plan and his words and promises and revelation. So we can look at any religion and say, well, this part of the plan or the doctrine is not correct. And so, we can correctly guide ourselves to the bosom of the Father, or God, and see clearly that we have the ultimate truth, and those who still believe that Antichrist is a person and comes here and sees and posts such a, you know, banners on in our room, and they think they have done a great job, we have to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And they absolutely doing the same thing that Jews did to Christ, Arabs did Prophet Muhammad, Persians did to Bob, and they were thinking they were doing the will of God. And because they believed in their religion and tradition, and people before them, and therefore they thought they are doing God's will. And of course, if you are doing the God's will, you are no coward. You will come and stay here and state your case, and we discuss together to see who is the truthful. And whoever is the truthful, of course, we can look at the revelation of God and the word of God and eventually come to the true conclusion. What is the truth? If you have the truth, then we will accept that as God's word. And if we have the truth, you have to eventually accept that, yes, what we say makes sense. It's based on God's revelations. It's based on the word that have come from those that have revealed the word of God to man. And therefore, we have more truth than your dogmas. And you give up your dogma and become a part of God's revelation. But of course, humans love their tradition, their dogmas, their religion. They're attached to their family, parents, spouse, their work, their lot of other things that keeps them from completely releasing themselves to the truth. Being released to the truth, you really have to be mature, independent, and not attached to anything that keeps you from going to God. Of course, that is very hard for a lot of people to understand, that God's demand is absolute, you know, dedication and oneness with Him, not because He needs it, because that's the only way out. As far as we are attached to the things in the external world, no matter what they are, how good they look, and how we think, there should be, the only way is to understand the way to go to God, and that is complete maturity. Complete maturity means no attachment to anything in this external world. The only attachment you should have is to the truth and the word of God. And that means no attachment to anything in this external world. No matter how politically you seem to be incorrect, or how your action or your belief might not be supported with the people, that they have their own ideas what their life should be. You should respect your parents, but you should go to God. You should love your spouse, but you have to go to your teacher. You should respect your teacher, but he should take you to God. You respect your parents if they are respectable and they are supportive in your way to God. Otherwise, go around them to still help them, but your goal is to become divine. Your goal is to reach God. Your goal is to overcome anything in your way to God. That's why it's so hard to go to God. There are so many obstacles for every person to really overcome, and they truly believe that they have overcome it, because they say we love God with all our heart, but then you go and deeply in the psychology, you see, no, they still are attached to a lot of things that they don't even consider attachments. But they are, no matter what they are. But the truth is here, and the elect has been working on themselves for last 12,000 years, and these words, of course, make sense to them a lot, and they can take that and give it to humanity. And that should also make sense to humanity. If we can create an environment and communities that the children are taught from the very beginning, the goal of their life is to follow eternal divine path and go to God. If we have many people in the community who teach these truth and wonderful realization to them, when the spiritual teacher know that they have to connect people to God instead of to themselves, when parents know that they have to guide their children to a great spiritual teacher, that he will take them to God, if a spouse understand that the goal of both of them are to connect to God together and respect their parents and find a spiritual teacher together, and that the spiritual teacher take them to God, we will have the kingdom of heaven on earth. These four beings are the most important beings in our life. Even our children are not ours. We are the keeper of their souls for a while, to guide them, to nourish them, to nurture them, and when they are ready to fly away from the nest, let them go. If, of course, they came back to us and respected us and helped us, that is great. We are one. We can help them in a greater degree to go to God. But if they flew and became independent and never came back, still we love them, but we leave them alone. So it's a completely a system based on understanding of the goal of the life, how to become divine. The whole society, whole human life should be based in that goal. Because the whole universe has been created for that goal. Everybody to become divine, to become one with God. And the fastest way is the eternal divine path. And of course, eternal divine path includes all religions of the world. And all religions of the world are unified. And therefore, we no longer look at Muslim as from devil, as Hindus are from unclean spirit, or whatever concept or dogmas we have, which separates man from man and any part of the universe from any other part of the universe. How can we, separate anything from anything? If God is everything and we cannot separate anything from anything, such a God is not going to send dividing religion to humanity, and some of those religions is going to be better than the other one. He is everything. He is a unifying force in the universe. How can he send religions that contradict with one another? Therefore, our revelation is based in that spirit, in that unification and unity and uniting the spirit of God. He cannot send any revelation that separates man from man. The most logical explanation is each of them have a message for humanity. Each of them has a part of the truth. If each of them have a part of the truth, then what is the whole truth? God says, well, you won't know it. You won't know it until the seventh revelation I will send to man. And I will send that revelation with the clear signs that you will not make any mistake and take another person as the revealer of the seventh revelation. I will send prophecies. I will tell you, who will bring that last revelation to you? It's not going to be just any person walk in and say, yeah, I am the seventh revealer and the prophet, but I haven't fulfilled any prophecies and all that. You say, no. The first question anybody says, you are the seventh angel or the prophet of God, is, what prophecies have you fulfilled? Have you been told that you will come? That's the first question you have to ask any prophet or spiritual teacher. Have you fulfilled the prophecy? When did God told us to come? Now that cuts 99.99% of the teachers on earth and those who claim that they have received revelation from God. God does not reveal major revelations to anybody. He prophesies for a long time, and he clearly says when such a person comes, what kind of prophecies they will fulfill. If they have fulfilled those prophecies, of course, then you ask them about their genealogy. You know, are they really the line of the tribe of Judah? Can they truly come and bring a revelation from God? Go ahead, contractor.
On December 21st of 2012, the Mayan calendar will come to an end. According to the scriptures, it will mark the end of this current lifetime and the beginning of a new one, and is symbolized with the Mayan tree of life. Another thing that points to this date is the Timeway Zero algorithm.
Okay, contractor, is there any question in that? If you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand again. But apparently you seem to preaching what you believe. Do you have any question? If you have a question, raise your hand. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, going on and explaining your ideas or opinion here instead of reaching and understanding what the teaching is in this room. If you have a question, raise your hand or discuss, you want to discuss the mission, we would be more than glad to talk to you. Otherwise, you know, if the way you were talking didn't seem to be about this mission. And how do you know when the time is? Future belongs to God, not to anyone else. Nobody can predict the future, but God can do, and His future is based on many other aspects. So you are on the dotted. If you want to grab the mic and raise your hand, and I will let you talk, but please be on topic. And we do not believe anybody can predict the future unless it's based on the scripture. And based on the scripture, of course, there is no specific date has been given. You can not exactly say what date it is. Many people in the past, they predicted that something's going to happen in a special date, and they didn't happen. In 1800, a lot of people, they thought that's the end time, and they sold everything they had, and they went and waited for Christ to come from the sky, and it didn't happen. And they, many times, human has done that. So if you have a question about the mission or you want to talk about this revelation, you know, be more than open to your participation. But the very beginning of your sentence that you predicted such and such a thing is going to happen in such and such a time is absolutely not based on the scriptures and the Word of God. And of course, anything that is not the Word of God, you know, is not accepted here in this mission. So we can see that still people try to, okay, contractor, go ahead and take the mic, but please just be on the topic and get to the point instead of, you know, giving your opinion. Go ahead.
Maitreya, in some of your recent conferences, you argue that the seventh seal has been broken and you published Thoth, which you describe as being the only scripture that reveals the seven seals and their meanings. What does this ultimately mean for humanity if you are indeed the real Maitreya?
The ultimate result of our revelation is to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. It has been prophesied and foretold that God's kingdom will come on earth and His will be on earth as it is in heaven. Some people say the kingdom is within you and you don't need to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. But in Daniel it clearly shows that God talks about a statue that will represent the kings and kingdoms on earth. And then eventually a small stone comes, will hit the statue, and that the statue will be destroyed, and that little stone covers the whole earth and replace all those earthly kingdom with God's kingdom. Therefore, we can see clearly God's desire to see His kingdom come to earth, and to bring the kingdom on earth is based on the communist of light, and the communist of light is based on the eternal divine path, and the eternal divine path shows all religions of the world are unified and each have a part of this truth. So the whole plan of God is been given through this mission, and the seven seals are open and explained. So the ultimate effect for humanity is to bring peace and the kingdom of God on earth and accelerate their spiritual progress toward God in thousands of folds, and eventually make this earth God's instead of egos. So that is the goal of this mission, and that is what we will accomplish and will come. God has said in the past that He will do things, and He has done them, and He said His kingdom will come, and it will. Therefore, that is our salvation, that is our strength, that is what we have to hang into, and see the vision, do our best, go ahead with what we understand and reveal to God, or through this mission to us, and work toward that accomplishment without being attached to the result or becoming discouraged because it might be a slow process. But eventually it will be accelerated, and this will manifest because it makes sense. It is the truth. It's based on God's word, and therefore we will succeed because our understanding is based on God's word, and God said He will bring this kingdom on earth. That is why this revelation has come to humanity, to explain that God has been sending this revelation to man, that each of these revelations have a specific message, that when you put all of them together, a path will be revealed to you. There is no dogma in it. There is no specific thing you have to do to follow this path. If you follow this path, you will see the result. You will create the communist of light. You will teach people what is their goal. The goal of their life is to become divine. And by becoming divine, they have no choice but to go toward creation of the communist of light. And the communist of light is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's very precise and a path that is given very clearly how to bring God's kingdom on earth. So that is the reason, and no other prophet, revelation, revealer has ever brought such a precise and clearly stated revelation from God, based on the word of God, based on the scripture, unified all religions of the world, shows the way to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the shortest path to God. No one has been able to succeed. That is why when the book with the seven seal was opened, the whole universe rejoiced. That's the only time in the Bible and in the scriptures when the whole universe rejoices because the seven seals are opened and the book with the seven seals was revealed. That is how important this revelation is and been sent to humanity. And this is a call to all of you to come and see. No, you have to overcome your own understanding, your own desires, your own will, your own religion, your own dogma, and see how clearly God makes it for those who have the slightest spirit of God in them, that this is the most precise, clearest vision, the most peaceful and educational way to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Of course, you don't have to. You know, there is no push here. There is no desire here to snatch you to this mission and keep you here. No, if you are in elect, if God's already been chosen you or you have been working on yourself for the last 2,000 years, nobody has to snatch you. You snatch yourself. Nobody has to convince you. You convince yourself. That's all those people in the mission, that is what they have done. I just presented them the truth. They saw the vision, they convinced themselves, and then of course, as I said in the beginning of the lecture, that's all left. See the vision, come together, and let us do this mission together. As we do the mission together, we will progress in a greater degree, and that is how I make you progress, by bringing you or insisting that you should get engaged with the mission. You should get engaged with comings of life. You should follow eternal divine path. I cannot help you if you do not follow eternal divine path. You will not progress. You can say, okay, my sir, give me this vision. I saw the vision. That seeing the vision is just the beginning. But being the vision is what makes you to progress in a greater degree. And being the vision means to get involved, to get engaged, to reach out, to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces, understand yourself, see your weaknesses, overcome them, become a productive member of the society and a mission, then reach out to create the communities of light in a place you are. We even don't tell you to come here and join us in where we are. We tell you, you can start wherever you are. Of course, you want to come here and you have the ability to come here. We sure need a lot of people to come and join us here and do a lot of things that need to be done. You know, we need computer people, we need, you know, lawyers, we need people that, doctors, we need, you know, dentists, we need, anybody that have any ability, they can surely use it in the mission if they come here with pure heart and in the spirit of service and with no attachment to the result and all that. Of course, that is another option. But there are many options in the mission. You can just love the mission with your all heart and do nothing. Of course, you don't progress much. You know, you just saw the vision and you loved it and you stay with it. Fine. That is one state. To all the way to a state that you absolutely dedicate your life to the mission and the vision, and either where you are or come here and become a member of the community and use your talents and abilities to make this community progress in many levels that it could. As you get more people to see this vision clearly and become it and see how God indeed exists. And this is really the most important news anybody can give to humanity, and all the news you see in television and radio or here in the radio They are updated already. This is the most updated news for humanity. That's where we are going. We are going to have the creation of comings of light and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Because God said that's what is going to happen. He said before what he's going to do, and he accomplished, and this is going to happen. This is the news. No matter how other people, other organization or the government that do, all of them are in vain because that they are not in based on the will of God. This is based on the will of God. If somebody proves me it is not, I'm the first person who will drop it because I want to be in the winning team. I want to be with God, which clearly the scripture states that he will win. He will bring his kingdom on earth. And if that is the truth, why I want to be with anybody else or anywhere else? When I know that this is the revelation of the seven seals, the coming of light based on the revelation came to all religions of the world. The base of the kingdom is the coming of light, and the coming of light is based on the eternal divine path. The eternal divine path is awakening of our spiritual forces, creation of coming of light, sacrifice, surrender and submission to the will of God for us, and becoming universalists. Therefore, we become an elect. We become a completely free person. If you are still attached to our family, if you are still attached to our society, if you are still attached to our teaching, religion, dogma, no matter what on earth, we will not be able to follow eternal divine path completely. We will not be able to create a community which will teach children their goal is to become divine. That you have to find a teacher who connects you to God. That the parent should encourage their children to become godly instead of giving them dogmas of their own religion and cultures. You have to free yourself, absolutely. This is the path of the brave. And the elects are brave. Elects are not immature, but mature and independent people who have overcome any bondage or desire or attachment to this external world, therefore they can free themselves completely from anything in their way to become an elect. Anything in their way has to go. You have to become the children of God and be on the work of the Father. That's all it has to be. You and your life should be based on doing His will and the work of God. Not what your parents want, what your family wants, or what your spouse wants, or what your, you know, community wants, what your nation wants, but what God wants. If you absolutely are dedicated to that will, then you are a mature, independent, elect, not a dependent and attached elect. Actually, if you are then you are not an elect, because you are still attached to other things in your life. So, this is a call to maturity. This is a call for human to go beyond, you know, human emotions and concepts and cultural concept and all those things, they become a free soul, belong to God. If we can create 144,000 or such a independent, mature, one-pointed people who work ceaselessly to create comings of light, with no political maneuvering and attachments and desires to dominate and become somebody that they are not what they desire to be, then we can create an environment that is pure, is based on the ability of each person, and bring communities of light that eventually the hierarchy will emerge from them, and they will create the kingdom of heaven on earth. So the whole idea of this mission is purify humanity one by one, call on elects to become mature and purified, create the community of light based on the eternal divine path, teach our children to follow eternal divine path and become mature themselves, and the parents would not create the web of the emotional bondage that a lot of parents, you know, make around their children, but free them to God, and therefore we can have an environment that based on the God's word and God's revelations, based on the spirit, the essence of man. And if we can create more and more of these communities, other people will also see the beauty of our teaching. They also see the essence of God in one another. They start respecting each other, and they start separating and bringing destruction to earth, but bringing the unity that human needs so badly. And of course the time is right. All the seven revelations have come to earth. All those who should join or will be in the kingdom are been incarnated. Why do we have so many people or population on earth at this time? Because everybody who has been incarnated the last 2,000 years have been returned to us, and now we can preach this word to them. That's why it's so important that each person on earth hears this revelation at least once. That's what God created the internet. The word of God is being preached every day in these rooms, and there are wonderful people here that they are reaching to humanity every day and explaining this teaching to man, to humanity, to those who come to this room, and direct them to go to their website and read about this revelation. And they are doing a wonderful job because each of those people they send to those pages in the website, and each of them who read or see at least the greatest sign, one is checked. Say, one is done. God checked them out. Okay? We have only 5,999 more to go. The moment they go there, they see the greatest sign. The moment they go there and they read about the eternal divine path, we are done with them. We have given them our message, our revelation. Now it's up to you. It's up to them. It's up to every person and individual. The more we reach to humanity, the more people hear it, the more our work are done. And those who are the elect, they can see our teaching absolutely clearly and will come and join and will help the mission to spread together. Go ahead, Cyber Spirit.
Well, hello, Maitreya. It's an honor for me to be able to hear you and to meet you, sir. I would like to ask a question about the origin of the ignorance and why mankind has put himself into an ego format. Something came to my mind that I believe could be a possibility I'd like to share and see if you can tell me if I'm on the right track here. When we are in infinity, one with God, in infinite consciousness, we already have everything on that level. Because you're infinite, you have everything. Was the reason for this relative reality and the formation of the ego, was the purpose so that we could come up with a new creation that we did not have from the infinite point of view, and the only way that creation could come forward would be through ignorance? And once the ego is dissolved or dropped, we can keep this new creation that we formed and yet not suffer from all its disadvantages. We have all the beautiful parts of it. Could you shed some light on that? Or I'd love to hear what you have to say. I'll release the mic. Thank you.
No, your understanding is incorrect. Cyber spirit, I'm sorry to say. I'm sure you didn't want to hear that. If you go to our website and start reading our teaching, your question is clearly being answered. It is not that we create a creation. It is to return to original state that God, the universe was at. In the beginning, everything was in an equilibrium state, and there was no creation or tension or release or ego in the universe. It's just like kind of a being in a sleep. When you're in a sleep, there is no ego, there is no desire, there is no, unless you have a dream, of course, the dream itself is a creation in consciousness. For some reason, that equilibrium state was disturbed, and this disturbance brought the separation between that unified state, and the first feeling was, I know. You have to let me finish answering your one question before you can ask another one. So let's wait until this is done. So the first feeling, based on the influence of the first force in the universe, which we call the Sattvaguna, unconsciousness was, I know. For the first time, the feeling of I knowness. Before that, everything was, just was. Knowingness just a part of being. It's not something universe would say, I know. It just knew without any separation of I know. It was a knowness. And the second influence of the Rajaguna, which is energy on the universe, was I do. And the third feeling based on the Tamaguna or crucifying force was I have done or memory. And the memory, of course, is the ether which is in the universe, and that is why they use ether, solidified ether chips in the computers, and they can hold memory because that is when the memory of the universe is, the ethereal level, and that's where the Akashic record is and all the truth is there. Therefore, with these three influences of I know, I do, and I have done, memory, the ego evolved and separated itself from the unity of essence or what was in the beginning, before the beginning actually. And that is when ego evolves and come from, and that is why in the scripture it's been said, and there was darkness. When the ego evolved, of course, separation starts between each unit consciousness. It's a spark of the of God, and that separation brought feeling of not being one, and therefore each unit consciousness creates different pathways, thinking, karma, and that created man separates from man. And that happens to cultures, because cultures are different, they think differently, the religions, the dogmas, the explanation, because that unity is not realized and recognized. And that is when the ego and separation has come. It is not that we come here to create our own universe. Actually, if you do that, you actually are separating again yourself from other people, because the universe you will create is going to be different than the universe other ego will create, and they are not gonna be one. But the whole idea is to return to that equilibrium state of the universe that it was in, and not to create anything, but know what is the will of God, what is the will of the essence, and follow that will to return to equilibrium. If we create our own universe, actually we are creating our own will. And that is, of course, ego and separation and not unity and oneness. So therefore, If you really want to know where ego came from, that is where ego came from. If you have another question, now you can raise your hand. That is my answer to your question. Go ahead, Sever.
Well, thank you very much. You mentioned there was, for some reason, if I can quote you, please tell me if the reason why ego became was, of course, in as we're understanding, it's not a reality, it's just within the relative reality. Was that deliberate, a decision that we took on a deliberate, in other words, we already were able to look into the future and knew what we were getting into, and there was a deliberate reason for the ignorance? Or do you think it was everything was accidental? It happened by random. Thank you.
Yeah, very good question, Cyber. Because knowingness, as I said, is created after that equilibrium was restored. Therefore, to know what was the original state that restored that equilibrium and oneness means you should be able to think, you have to have intellect, you should have analytical mind to do that. But there was no mind. There was no I know-ness as I think what happened, that equilibrium was restored. That's why it is so hard to explain what that first cause of disturbance was, because there was no mind or there was no I that absorb it, analyze it, and say, oh, that was the cause. Some people said God desired, and that desire disturbed the equilibrium, and therefore it went out of balance. And there are many explanations what was that first cause, but these are just speculation. Unless there was some mind, unless there was some ego which knew, done, and had a memory to observe what that disturbance or cause was, whatever we say or believe, it's just a speculation. The only thing we can be sure is there was something, there was some cause. Unless we meditate very hard to go to the beyond even that point of cause, and able to see what that cause was, even then we don't have any mind again to know what it was. If we realize that before that cause there was no mind, there was no observation, there was no knownness or do-ness or memory, we realize that just like what is the sound of the one hand clapping? It's something that you can speculate, you can think, you can really try to understand what it is. Then you don't, it's impossible to say what is the sound of the clapping. Yes, exactly. The answer is beyond mind. Because it's beyond mind, we never can be sure any speculation is correct. Go ahead, contactor.
Maitreya, on your website it symbolizes all the world's religions coming together as one. Some people wonder how this can be possible when most of the world's conflicts are based on religion, such as in Jerusalem with the Muslims and the Jews. How will this fighting come to an end?
Very, very good question, contractor. The reason they are fighting is because each of them think they have a greater revelation or truth. The Jews think they are the chosen people, and therefore they have the right on Palestine, and originally was theirs, because at the time of Moses, they came and took over the place, and God gave it to them, and therefore it's theirs. And of course, Muslims believe they have the last word, and Prophet Muhammad, and Muslim eventually came and took over and pushed Jews out of the Jerusalem and Palestine, and therefore if God given right to them because they have the last word and they conquer the place and it is theirs. The truth of the matter is that God clearly, if they come and understand our teaching, they see that there is a way out, and the way out is the word of God. God promised Abraham, which his son was Isaac, that there is going to be a land we given to them, which was the Jerusalem and Palestine, and Moses came and took over. But he said that is going to be until the Shiloh or the Messiah come, and therefore, if that is the truth, then the Messiah Christ, Isa, or what most people call Jesus, came. That was finished and done with, and Jews have to recognize and realize the Word of God. And also Muslim, they have to recognize and realize that Muhammad wasn't the last prophet. He was the person who finished the fourth seal. And therefore, all of them are a part of God's revelation, and nobody knows the truth of all this revelation until the seventh angel come, or this revelation come, and now it explains to each and all of them where they fall. If that is true, the only thing is left, all they become divine, work together, create communities of light wherever they are, get along, create an environment that all of them can live in peace and unity, and in a greater degree progress toward become godly or divine. Therefore the path is given, the path of peace is given to everyone. The only thing is left is for them to recognize and realize what we say is the word of God, is the last revelation. They have to accept this one. Whatever they knew, they believe, it explained, and done with. If they realize and recognize them, then they don't look at each other as Jews or Hindus or Buddhists or Christians and this and that, but as essence of God, and there is only one God for all of them. There is no God for Jews separate from Christians, separate from Muslims, separate from Hindus or Buddhists. That's the beauty of this revelation. It puts all of them together. He tells them, look, there is only one God, and he sent all of this revelation. And the only way out is to recognize all of them, realize all of them, see that what God was doing, create an understanding the eternal divine path, follow it, create comings of light, get along, live together, create an environment that everybody can go to God as soon as possible. The problem on earth is each people have a part of this and they think they have the whole thing. So that is how you unify and bring peace to Middle East and everywhere on earth. Go ahead, Cyber. Just a second. Yeah, go ahead.
The other day I was listening to an interview from a physicist mentioning about, and you brought this up sometime in the past about quantum physics. It sent some chills up my spine because they said that within 10 years they will be able to prove the existence of a multiple universe, an inner level of consciousness. The reason why that really attracted me is because lately your mission has been doing a lot of intensive work here, and I have this notion that if there's a major breakthrough in physics and science where they can actually prove the existence of something beyond the physical world, all these unbelievers and skeptics and atheists and people that don't seek for spiritual things directly will suddenly have to start turning their heads and looking within and no longer go around with a belief system or a supposing system, but actual scientific fact. Is this one of the reasons why you have lately picked this time of our era to be intensifying this movement, because you know or you believe that there is a breakthrough coming pretty soon, and it all come together where people start to change their attitude and the massive consciousness of the acceptance and something as a reality rather than as a belief system will make everybody turn towards spiritual concepts, and your movement will grow tremendously, and that will help provoke the kingdom of heaven coming on earth within the near future?
Absolutely. cyber. When the revelation of God comes, when the revealer comes, there is a great leap of evolutionary process in human consciousness. And if you study our teachings, you will clearly see that we are talking about science based on a spirit, and these scientific facts and discoveries will be coming to humanity very, very fast. And if you know about the quantum theory and the theory of gravity, they have eventually unified them together, and they realize there are more. It's called a string theory. I don't know if you're familiar with. And it, yeah, very close, exactly. And that string theory, eventually they realize there are many strings in the universe. It's just not one of them. And they call that M theory. M, of course, is the end of the Om. Om. And M starts the whole thing in human existence, is the original sound in the universe. And as you realize more and more, people will turn into their own soul and spirit, and they realize that their essence as God will one. And not only their essence and God are one, but everybody's essence and God are one. And those scientists will start recognizing and realizing the universe in a much deeper level. They will see that there are other universes also, as they have seen it. And actually, you know, we are living in a very, very many states of consciousness and possibilities at the same time. And more they can understand this deeper level of the universe as they have becoming closer and closer. Yes, probably in around between 10 to 15 years, they will come to discoveries, and the traveling even in the space gonna be even in a greater degree improved and accelerated. And that will bring a greater degree of relief on Earth, and humanity have infinite resources for themselves to tap into, and that also will accelerate the peace and unity of humanity on Earth. So you are absolutely correct. This is the mission, that he has not only unified all the religion, but it also encourages the science and unified that with the Spirit of God, and says whatever scientists discover, it's what God has already created, and there is no separation between science and God. Well, you're asking why our outreach intensified? If you read the scripture, he says that he will come as a thief of the night. For last 22 years, we have been like a thief of the night. And we have been reaching out to humanity and calling people to come and realize this teaching. A few have. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm calling the elect here to come together. We have a lot of work to do. We have to reach and use this wonderful, you know, communication tool that God has given us, so we can preach and reach to all parts of the earth and make everybody realize that indeed we are in the brink of a great evolutionary leap. Go ahead, Cyber.
Please tell me if I'm asking too many questions, because there are many people here. I don't see any hands up in the air. So I'll be glad to pass the mic on to somebody else. So, you know, if it's okay. It's to my understanding that whatever is being perceived by the ego, for example, if we take things like disease, lack, limitation, these are not a power in themselves. They're not God-supported. They're not God-sustained. These are manifestations that only become because of the falseness in the ego's perception. Lately, I have been doing some work where by making people aware that the Father and I are one, that God is within us, and that is the only true power, and our true nature is spirit. In the thinking process, to think about less and less as one as being man or ego and standing on the other side of the fence, even in the thinking process besides the meditating and spiritual process. I, for one, have an understanding that the disease in itself or any manifestation of evil that comes upon the world does not have a power in itself. It is the ignorance of the ego mind and the acceptance of the ego mind and the belief that it has a power that allows it to manifest. If we realize that we are a spirit and we are the true power and within us is God, that alone can override much of the influence in these harmonies in the world, and we can actually override the illusion or the manifestation of evil on us because of our recognition of the oneness with God, which is a true power. Is this good enough to be accepting this as an intellectual or mental understanding to a point accompanied by spiritual meditation, or does all the work have to be done within meditation, or the fact that one can mentally deny that there's power in evil is also a good step? Thank you.
What you say, Sarver, as usual, has some truth in it, and is true, but there is more into it, just that one recognition or realization. Yes, indeed, the spirit is within us, and we have the ability to heal ourselves, and all the disease and problem, not all, but most all, are spiritually related, and therefore if we spiritually progress and realize and recognize and let God come through and we absolutely get rid of the ego, many of the diseases will vanish and we are free to be healthy people with a good diet and environment. But also diet, environment, for example, if you work and you do not rest for a long time, no matter how spiritual you are going to catch cold. The very reason for catching cold is to slow you down, body telling you rest and take it easy. You are doing too much. It has nothing to do with the spiritual progress. Even if you are in pure consciousness and you are in the body and you're not stopping and you're working, the body eventually says, no, stop and take it easy for a while. So, you can see here, it has nothing to do really with the spiritual reason. If you have a karmic problem that you have to burn through some spiritual or disease, that is another way. Sometimes people who are in a higher consciousness, sometimes they pick up other people's karma and they get sick without they really needed that to happen to them. But of course you are absolutely correct. That is why we do not encourage people to heal one another, because as Christ said, when the unclean spirit leaves a person, it goes and finds seven more vicious than itself, and return and the state of the man become worse than before, because the man himself haven't learned how to heal himself or herself, and therefore they do not have the ability to block the dark forces to enter them, and therefore they become diseased. And even the people we have met, the people who have been healed at the time of the Christ, even come back in this lifetime and they have the same disease that they have at the time of Christ, and although he healed them at that time, they haven't learned to heal themselves in this lifetime, and that is what they have to learn to do, to heal themselves. And when we learn how to heal ourselves, then Christ's teaching become more important to us than his healing, and therefore we concentrate on his message instead of concentrating on what he healed. So that is the goal for every individual, to learn to heal themselves, to realize that all the diseases based on a spiritual reason, and we can heal ourselves by understanding, by creating good environment. Another disease come from bad environment. You pick up dark or unclean energies from other people around you. If we can create the commerce of life and create an environment that everybody is basing their life on God and the Spirit, we will have less and less disease. So your understanding, again, is truth, but there's more into it. If you go and study our teaching, you understand in a greater degree. Go ahead, Cyber. And don't worry about if you're asking questions, because anybody wants to ask questions, of course, they can raise their hand. And so there is no hand. Exactly. You can go ahead and take the mic.
Okay. Thank you again for such a detailed answer. My true nature is I am spirit. I am one with God. I am not eagle. In fact, I even refuse to accept that I'm an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And I allow God to work through me. This is my true nature. Now, in itself, when somebody thinks of this kind of understanding that knows that he's one with God, knows that he is spirit, when it comes to karma, if there's any karma that's pending, to a point, is one able to override whatever, let's put it this way, negative karma that is due to be collected because of this understanding that the truth has come upon his conscious? And if so, God wants a vessel to work through, and not a vessel that's tied to karma to a point. So when the surrender, submission is sincere and honest, and the understanding of the truth is vast, will this alone dissolve whatever negative karma one has to bring about? Because after all, the negative karma comes onto the ego, because the soul and the spirit are completely separate from that. And either one renounced, then I am ego, even in my thought process. Or does one have to collect the karma regardless, whatever the understanding or the submission to God is? Thank you.
Yeah, it is very admirable that you refuse to accept that you are ego, but the moment you say, I am not ego, that presence at that I in your sentence means you still have a separate I, and that, of course, is ego. That is why, to this point, it was very hard for people to become egoless, because they would think, they would recognize or realize that they are a part of God. The essence of God is in them. That is great. That's wonderful. You recognize that. That is the first step to recognize that God is everything, and the essence of God is not only in you, that also is in everybody else. According to our teaching and this revelation, the path to become egoless is been given without even you recognize that you have dissolved your ego in the long run. And that is the eternally one path. I don't know if you have been in our website and have studied our teaching and see what the teaching is. The teaching is, the first step is to meditation and going deep inside and recognizing that you are a sense of God. That's the first step. The second step, engaging yourself to create an environment that also other people can meditate and awaken the spiritual forces. We call it the communities of light. That is the last, the Old Testament. The first, awakening our spiritual forces, are the mystical path. The second is the Old Testament, to create communities of light. Third is sacrifice for the communities. And the fourth is when the ego absolutely dissolves. That is when you surrender surrender the dissolve to God, or even greater than that, you submit yourself. You become a channel for God. You don't do anything. God is doing it through you. And therefore, there is not such a thing as, I refuse to accept, I am ego, because the moment you say, I refuse, you are a person that's refusing the ego, which is still separating itself from other egos and God. But if God is doing it through you, you're doing it nothing. He doesn't even exist. You don't say, I don't create an accept ego, because you are not there. How can you even say, I don't have ego, when God is there, you're not. And therefore, with eternal divine path, you dissolve ego without even trying to not having ego. Of course, the next step is what about the karma pending? Okay, well, what is the goal of karma? The goal of the karma is the action we have done in our lives, this life or previous lives, and we have accumulated this bad karma or good karma, whatever, and we haven't learned our lesson. The moment we learn our lesson, the karma just dissolves. It's not there anymore. It's not pending. It is pending because we're not learning our lesson. And the moment we learn the lesson, there is no karma. And if you become truly submissive to God and you do the will of God, you're not doing anything personally, and therefore you do not create karma, and no karma, whatever you have also, through your meditation, you learn very fast, you overcome them, and therefore there aren't going to be any karma, therefore you are free. Therefore, you can see, with the eternal divine path, not only you create the coming of life, not only you bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, not only you progress spiritually, your ego dissolves into it. And you, one day, see God is coming through and absolutely become a pure channel for a spirit. Great, great, Cyber. You have indeed realized a lot, but of course, you have come here to even realize in a greater degree the truth that have already, some of it been revealed to you, and that's actually how the elects are. The elects are the people who have recognized and realized a lot themselves, and when they come here, of course, they see it clearer and more precisely and expanded in a greater degree. Go ahead, Tiger.
Okay, this I think will be the last question for now. Thank you very much. I think we're almost into an hour and a half here, so I'll make it brief. Lots of people, when they listen to the message about ego and the relative realities and so forth, and it's being a false pretender, is it enough in the ego mind to understand intellectually how obsolete or false the ego is, and deny, I still have to speak in these human terms. is it enough in the mind of the ego to do the spiritual work, to keep refusing, and I know this will be corrected because you just did already, but I'm trying to find a way to word it. When people go around saying, you know, I get sick and I have a spirit, this is a typical one. I've made this correction many times during during God's spiritual work through me, about I am spirit, and I keep saying, you're not spirit. I have a spirit, sorry. Or they say, my spirit. Mm-hmm. And I say, you're standing on the wrong side of the fence. It's not my spirit. You are spirit, and you should talk as capital I. And the more you think or consider or know yourself, actually, I'm going to correct it. The more you know yourself as spirit, in the intellectual understanding only, is that a big step for an ego to start to dissolve? Or does it necessarily need to have meditation and submission to God? Because many people will not take that second step. They sort of like have the understanding in their mind. I think you'd probably say at first the intellectual understanding is important of the falsehood, and then later on they will embark into spiritual meditation and so forth. But could you shed some light on how much the role of the intellect within the ego plays to start to dissolve it? Thank you.
You're correct, Cyber. Intellect is important. That is the first step, that intellectually recognize that God is everything. Intellectually realize that since God is everything, I'm a part of everything, therefore I'm a part of God, and therefore God is within me, and I am God. The problem with intellect is because if ego is involved, after a while, the person thinks he is or she is only God and nobody else is, and that's why sometimes in this room or in Paltar, somebody comes to this room or other room and say, I'm God. It's just like they are God, but no one else is. That is the limit of intellect. It is very egoistical and self-centered, and therefore doesn't recognize that unity also is in other people, and also God is everybody else. And if they recognize that and then start meditating and deeply realize, yes, everything is God, and God is everything, and therefore I am a part of that essence, and everybody else also is a part of the essence, they expand their consciousness, and as I explained, of course, the greater understanding is that God comes through me, and I don't exist, and therefore the ego is dissolved by itself. if you ask, if you do the spiritual work with intellectual understanding and ego, would that be okay? The problem with that is when you work through a spiritual teaching or a spiritual work with ego, the third step in the eternal divine path comes in. And that is when you give and give and give and nothing happens, you become depressed and you become unhappy. Why I am putting so much effort, it's not happening. And that is ego, that is the problem with the ego, and the, or you become elated if it starts progressing and people start seeing the truth you have, and therefore again the ego is in. In the third step is that, that's when you are in third step. In the fourth step, again, you recognize you surrender the result to God, and you are not attached to the result, and therefore you free yourself. And or you become submissive, this God comes through, and again you are free. And that step is no longer intellectual, but it's absolute, a spirit coming through, and your ego dissolved without even you knowing it. So learn about the eternal divine path, and follow it, and you will achieve your spiritual progress without even intellectually try to analyze it. But one day you become a channel for God, and you recognize God actually exists, and you do not, and then you become a universalist. You expand yourself to the universe, and the whole universe become your home, and God become your mother and father, and you are free from any human frailty and bondage. Yes, that is another part of dissolving your ego, offer everything to God. Somebody says, thank you to what? Thank you to God within you, therefore I'm not the doer, all thanks go to God. I'm free. If you thank me, my ego get elated and say, yo, I did this, you know, yo, thanks me. So the ego wants to accept the praise, when really, if you are submission and surrender to God, the praise goes to your essence, which is God, which is coming through, therefore you are free from any bondage, and you will progress in a greater degree. Okay, Cyber, we make this the last question. We are out of time. Go ahead.
Well, wonderful answers. It's so inspiring to hear the way you talk and learn so much from you. When one does a painting or plays music, my understanding, I'd like to have some confirmation. When one does painting, music, whatever task there is to do in the world, when I do a painting, for instance, the first thing I do before I put my first brushstroke is I say, God, work through me. This is not my painting. This is yours. Yeah. I will witness your work through me. Yeah. And when you finish the painting, I can enjoy the beauty of the painting, but I know it was done, you're doing it through me, and I was just your vessel. Is this the correct attitude? And even if one congratulates or you sell it or whatever, never to fall into the temptation of the pride of me doing the painting, because once you submit your will to God, God is doing all the work through you, and you just, and the wonderful, beautiful part of it is that you don't think about the reward, you don't think about collecting the benefit. All you do is you witness the beauty of the artwork in itself, God manifesting through yourself. And that is the ultimate love that one can give to thy Father. Thank you.
Absolutely, Cyber. Actually, if you look at the great manifestation of art, it's been done with the Spirit of God coming through the artist, or the greatest sermons has been given, it's been the Spirit of God coming through. If you let God come through, you will do perfect thing every time. It's truly 100% you let God come through. Therefore, your painting becomes an inspiration, a spiritual upliftment for everybody else who will look into it, because your ego didn't do it. It is God, the Spirit done it, and therefore it will give great fruits, because God's Spirit is perfect. And perfection in man only comes through letting God's Spirit come through man. And if we let that happen, we will be absolute submissive to God, and our life become a dance and a joy and bring unity to everyone. I hope that answers your questions, and I leave all of you to God. And again, go to the website, read our teaching, and know that during the week, you are expected to reach out to every man and woman you meet, and to all those who listen, and let them know that the revelation of the seven seals are here, the ultimate truth of God has come, this is the salvation of man, and let's bring humanity to the brink of the great evolutionary leap and unity in the universe. Shalom, everybody. Hopefully see you next week.